From the studios of WXXI, this is Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. Chamber music is a cornerstone of the Eastman School of Music. Each year, students meet and form chamber groups of many different instrumentations, then take those groups into concert halls and competitions. Today, we feature one of those groups, the Lilac String Quartet. Just back from the state round of the Music Teachers National Association competition, the Lilac Quartet has played in audiences ranging from elementary school kids to senior citizens, with a jazz concert or two thrown in for good measure. Today, they play for us. Spreading the gospel of the String Quartet next on WXXI. Welcome to Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres, and we have the Lilac Quartet in studio with us today. I'd like to introduce you to all of them one by one. We begin with violinist Haley Schricker. Hi.
Hello.
Nice to have you here. Also here is Julia Churchill, the violinist.
Hi.
Hi. Our violist is Ethan Durrell.
Hi.
And last but far from least, our cellist is Jordan Gunn.
Hello.
I mentioned in the introduction that you just did a competition. What was the competition, Ethan?
The competition we did is the first round of the MTNA chamber music competition. And so we just passed the first round, which is the state round, and we'll be going on to the regional division.
Congratulations. Well done. If there were an audience here, we'd all be applauding.
Thank you.
What do those initials stand for?
Music Teachers National Association.
So is this an annual thing?
Yeah.
What's the next step, Julia?
So the next round is a video round, and so that's for the regional division. And then hopefully if we pass on from there, then we'll go to the national round in Spokane, Washington.
What is the importance, Haley, of these competitions? What does it do for you?
My favorite part about it is probably just performance experience and different environments, and sometimes we meet new groups along the way in the warm-up rooms, and that's always fun to socialize. Yeah. And I just love traveling with my quartet, but I think competitions are definitely important for, you know, keeping morale up and providing motivation for us to keep working on these pieces that we sometimes work on for a long time.
So how do you choose, Jordan, the music that you're going to use in any one competition?
Well, we want to have a diverse program, so we have music from the Romantic era and also the 20th century. So we started Schulhof, which is one of the pieces we're playing today, last fall. So we've been playing it for a while, and then the two other pieces we're playing in the competition are Beethoven Harp String Quartet, which we just started working on this summer, and Schumann Third Quartet, which we did last semester.
Ethan, you were working on together in the summer. How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so towards the end of the summer, we all came back together and did a little quartet intensive rehearsal period. So we met and rehearsed for, 4 hours a day?
Five?
Yeah. With a break in between. And so we would just get together and focus really hard, break apart the pieces into as small of details as possible and just build it up from there.
Who's picking your music, Julia? Do you or does your faculty advisor pick the music? Say, you know, this is something I think that you folks would like to play?
Yeah. Actually, we pick the music that we want to work on. And we actually pick the music before we even know who our coach is on the faculty. And we were really excited about we wanted to try something new. And the Yin Quartet had actually worked on the Schulhof 5 pieces. So we were kind of inspired by that. And we thought it would be really fun. And then we all just really love the Schumann, and then we thought maybe it was time for Beethoven, so we thought it was a good time for a challenge.
It's always time for Beethoven.
Yeah.
Hey, who's your advisor?
Well, we have two coaches currently. We work with Misumi Peristad and also David Ying of the Ying Quartet, and we also work sometimes with Eleanor Freer, just to get our repertoire together and talk about competitions that we can do. So it's kind of a group effort.
What are the things that a coach teaches you, Ethan?
The coach mainly works in a similar way that you might approach a lesson, an individual lesson. And so we'll go play a movement of a piece, and then they'll just give their feedback and see what sort of insights they can offer to us.
Well, we're going to hear some of your musical insights, beginning with three of the five pieces for string quartet by Schulhoff. We'll revisit this for the other two in a bit as well. You are listening to the Lilac Quartet as they perform live from Studio E on Backstage Pass. Thank you. Three pieces for a string quartet by Schulhoff. There are actually two more. We'll hear them in a bit here on Backstage Pass. These are being performed by the Lilac Quartet. I'm Julia Figueres. Jordan, how did you get yourselves together? How did you meet each other?
We kind of grew over a few semesters, actually. Julia and I started together in a piano quartet, and then we had a... We were playing with another violist at the time, and then Haley joined our quartet, and then the violist we were playing with left, and so we were fortunate to start playing with Ethan. So we started all together about 2 years ago.
So you find each other, you weren't put together by the professors?
The Ying Quartet has a freshman quartet seminar that we all take, where every quarter of the year we switch quartets, so we get to play with lots of students from Eastman, so you get to kind of feel who you like to play with. So I actually played with everybody except for Julia, but now we play together all the time, so it's fine.
So that worked out really well.
Yeah.
Now, Haley, if you want to snuggle your mic up a little bit, I want to meet all of you, and we're going to start with you. Haley, you are from San Diego. That's quite a commute.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I was born and raised in San Diego, but Eastman was my dream school.
Why?
I wanted to study with my current professor, Mikhail Kopelman. I listened to his quartet recordings all the time on YouTube when I was in high school, and I just idolized him as a musician. And when I found out he taught at Eastman, I knew I had to apply.
So this string quartet thing, you're kind of a string quartet geek.
Yeah, you could say that.
When you auditioned for the Eastman, did you make it clear that this was the teacher you wanted to have?
Oh, yes. Yeah. My previous teacher was acquainted with my current teacher, and so there was that connection. I knew I liked the sort of teaching style and the technique that I had learned. I thought I probably wouldn't have to change too much. Boy, was I wrong. But... Yeah, I wrote down in my applications that I wanted to study with Mr. Kopelman, absolutely. Number one, I was so happy when I got an email from him after my audition saying I was accepted.
When you, you came out here to interview an audition, or did you have your auditions in California?
Oh, wouldn't that have been nice? No, it was freezing cold. I didn't know what snow was, and I had to come out here. But I loved it. I thought it was a fascinating new environment. And even though it was stressful being away from home for the longest I'd been away from home at that point, I think. So, yeah, it was a great experience coming to Eastman to audition.
And now you're a snow veteran.
You know all about it.
Yep.
you can go back to San Diego and say, you people don't even know how good you have it.
Yeah, I love doing that over breaks.
Going back to your home, what is it about this group that you like so much, Haley?
Talk
about them as if they're not in the room.
Oh, okay. Well, even though I think together we're greater than the sum of our parts, I love everyone in this quartet individually. I think we each bring a unique sound to the group, and it comes together really cohesively.
Well, so far it sounds pretty cohesive to us, and so we're going to listen to the final two of the five pieces by Schulhoff. Playing today are the Lilac Quartet, and we'll hear two pieces for string quartet on Backstage Pass. Thank you. Two pieces for string quartet by Schulhoff. There was the Alla Tango Milonga to start with that great string stutter by violinist Haley Schricker. And then the piece that got started off by Julia Churchill, the Alla Tarantella. Julia Churchill, our next. You're on deck, Julia. You are from Boston, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Go Red Sox.
Go Red Sox.
Indeed. And then this also means that, unlike Haley, winter did not come as a surprise to you.
No, it didn't. Yes, I was very used to the more the snow than the cold weather. I think it definitely gets colder here, but it was okay.
And it's a little sunnier in Boston, too.
Yeah.
It's a little gray here from time to time. Julia, you have a lot of good music schools in Boston.
Yes.
You're here. Why?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in the doing the NEC prep division, and so I just felt that after 18 years, it was time to find a new location and get outside of Boston for a little bit. And I was also really excited to study with Renee Joles, or have the opportunity to study with her here. So
you had her picked out.
Yes.
You put her name down.
I did.
You must have been happy when you got that email.
Yes, it was a very happy email. It's been great working with her. So.
From the Top is based in Boston,
yeah.
And you actually worked with From the Top.
Yeah, I did a young artist leadership type program. It was high school students had the opportunity to work with community Boston-based music schools for just students of the Boston community and teach a little bit. And we were able to work in a quartet or a smaller group and work with them a little bit and show them a little bit about what chamber music is like, as well as working individually with students in the school. So that was really fun.
What was your takeaway from doing that?
It was really interesting to be on the other side of it because I had been doing a lot of learning at that point, and that gave me an opportunity to teach a little bit. So that was definitely very interesting, and it was interesting to, even though I was still learning at that point, think about how I do things on the instrument, you know, that I had been doing for a while, and having to go back to basics and teaching it was a good experience, I think.
Do you want to teach?
I definitely want to try perform for as long as possible. I think definitely teaching is probably in the future somewhere, but I would love to be performing as long as possible. We've talked a little bit about it, but I think coaching chamber music would be a pretty nice job in the future, just because I like collaborating with others, and watching others collaborate together is, I think, really... We can learn from that too, as well. So,
what was the Orchestra of the Americas?
Oh, so that is an orchestra that is made up of members from the Americas, South America, North America, and I was on the Baltic tour a couple summers ago. So we were in Sweden and touring around that area, and that was pretty busy because we did 15 concerts there, but that was a really amazing experience because then it was, I think a lot of people say this, but it really taught me that music is definitely a universal language because there was a lot of language barriers with people being from many different countries. And then we get on stage and we play Brahms' First Symphony together, and I think we all come together pretty well. So that was a great learning experience.
Learning collaboration.
Yes.
Very early.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to some of your musical collaborations. We'll meet the other two members shortly here from the Lilac Quartet on Backstage Pass. And it is always time for Beethoven. Here's the first movement of Beethoven's Harp Quartet. The first movement of Beethoven's harp string quartet in E, Opus 74, played for us by the Lilac Quartet on Backstage Pass. As we meet these students from the Eastman School of Music, we welcome Ethan Durrell, the violist, who, again, long distance, a lot of winter where you're from, Denver.
Yeah, that's right.
We're a sporty guy. Did you ski?
Actually, I didn't, but funny enough, my sister is a downhill ski racer. So, actually, I'm the only musical person in a very sporty family.
Yeah, there always has to be one.
Yeah.
It always goes one way or the other. You know, if you're a musical family, there's the sports person. So you're the musical guy in the sports family. So what was that like growing up and saying, no, this is kind of what I'd rather do?
Yeah, it's interesting. I actually didn't grow up with music at all. No one in my family is a musician. And so I started pretty late. I just developed an interest in music when I was about 12, and from there I just started taking viola lessons. I started on the viola, and I haven't regretted it, and it's taken me this far.
You really did start late.
Yeah,
you,
I did,
you,
yeah.
You hear about, you know, the 5, the 6, the 7-year-olds, and you just swung right into it. Yeah. You're kind of a composer as well, right?
Yeah, for fun. I like to see what kinds of sounds I can come up with. Yeah, I'm actually in the process of writing a piece for our quartet right now.
I was wondering if that was what was around the corner.
Yeah.
So did you know about the Lilac Quartet when they came to you and said, come on down?
Yeah. At the time, I mean, at the time we were just one of the chamber ensembles at school. And so their previous violist was transferring to Juilliard. And so they needed someone to fill in. And we were already friends before I joined the ensemble. And so it was just a natural fit.
It isn't always a natural fit, though, is it? Do you have to like each other to fit in?
I wouldn't say that, but I would say you definitely need to respect each other a lot in order to really work as a group. And so if the mutual respect isn't there, then it's definitely not going to work out. Luckily for us, it seems to be working so far.
You also, I have to say, you went to the Heifetz Institute. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Yeah, the Heifetz Institute is a really interesting program. It's basically a training ground for the soloists of tomorrow. And so going into it, we do all sorts of workshops and classes in addition to your normal musical training. And so we had an improvisation class, like acting improvisation. We had a body and movement class. We had a fitness class and a public speaking class and sorts of things like that. And so I found that to be helpful just in terms of being comfortable on stage and in front of an audience. And that's definitely something I'm interested in exploring more, is the theatricality of a live performance.
Are you feeling like you want to be a soloist? Do you want to be in an orchestra? Do you want to hang with the chamber group? Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you feeling, Ethan, about where mm-hmm. you want to go?
Well, up until about this year, I was thinking orchestra is the way to go. That's what I want to do. And the more we work and the further we go, the more it seems like this is something we actually really could do. We could make something out of this. And so this is the ensemble that I'm leaning towards trying to pursue with right now.
One of the things that I've noticed as you perform is eye contact. Eye contact seems to be very important. You're laughing, Haley. That means you have to answer it. You have to bring that mic in. You have to bring that mic in closer, and you have to answer it.
All right. Well, I love looking at these guys, you know. It's not really a struggle, but as we get to know the pieces more and basically have them by memory, it's always good to have points where you check in with one another and make sure your bow speed is matching, or, hey, if somebody wants to do something really spontaneous that you hadn't rehearsed, you should probably, you know, be on your toes, and eye contact can facilitate that working out.
Does that happen often, Ethan? Somebody goes off the rails?
Oh, constantly. Usually. But that's why we have to be so vigilant. I mean, I think quartet, above all else, requires the most intense concentration because there are only four of you. And so if it's not precisely together, it's very obvious. Whereas if you're in an orchestra, the sound kind of blends. And when you're by yourself, you don't need to blend with anyone else.
Jordan, bring that mic over. When you play, you are absolutely wonderful to watch.
You just, Thank you. You
all are. And I see a lot of smiles, which is, I guess, the one thing that you can do that a woodwind quartet can't, is actually, you know, have faces.
Yes. That's good sometimes, but sometimes you start laughing and you can kind of play, but not really.
Well, let's kind of play a little bit.
Okay.
On Backstage Pass, our guests are the Lilac Quartet, and for their final piece for our program today, we'll be listening to the second movement of Beethoven's Harp Quartet on WXXI. the second movement of Beethoven's Harp Quartet on Backstage Pass. I'm Julia Figueres. And, you know, before we move on to talk to Jordan, I wanted to ask you about your teacher, Ethan. Mm-hmm. It is?
Sure. Yeah, my teacher right now is Professor George Taylor.
Did you pick him out as the others? So you, another one on the...
Yep.
Why?
Yeah, I definitely knew him going into it. I met him at the summer program, the Castleman Quartet program. And so it was the summer before my senior year of high school. And I had met him at the festival and he liked my playing and we got along well. And so he invited me to come audition for Eastman. And he was the only viola teacher at Eastman that I knew coming into it. And since we got along so well, it was just a natural fit.
Now, you actually, Jordan, have two teachers.
Yes.
Because one is just not enough for you.
That's right.
Your teachers are?
I study with Steve Doan and Rosemary Elliott.
Wonderful cellists and wonderful people as well.
Yes, they're amazing.
And I wanted to ask you, now, you come from Champaign, mm-hmm. Illinois, where there is a very fine music school, mm-hmm. but you came here.
I'd been studying with Daniel McDonough from the Jupiter already, he's in the quartet in residence there. I'd been studying with him for 3 years, and he said I should go somewhere else. I was like, I'll come here, and he's like, no. So I came to Eastman, and this was, even though it was like super cold outside, the inside of the school was very warm and welcoming, and there was jazz in the elevator, and it was just really fun. So that's why I decided to come here.
You have a very musical family.
I do. Well, just my parents.
Just your parents, yeah. Well, let's tell us who your parents are.
My parents are Nathan and Julie Gunn. My dad is an opera singer, and my mom is a pianist. So they work together a lot in recitals, and right now they're running the Lyric Theater at Illinois program.
So every one of you, how many siblings?
There are five of us.
There are five of you.
So four siblings.
Every one of you plays an instrument.
Sort of. My sister went into singing at school, but now she's more interested in directing. My younger brother played trombone for like 2 years, and he doesn't really do that anymore. He's more of a football kind of guy. And then the youngest two are twins, and the twin brother, he plays jazz piano sometimes, but it's more just for fun. And then the youngest girl, she sings, but she also is more into like tennis and sports.
So you see,
it's the opposite of Ethan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So did you get to tour with your dad at all? Go out and see the world with him when he performed?
Yeah, when we were younger, before we had a lot of school going on, he would take one of us at a time on trips, and we'd go for like 2 weeks at a time. So I've been around Europe quite a bit, but unfortunately I was so young that I don't really remember it or appreciated it as much as I would now.
Now you mentioned, you know, hearing jazz in the elevator. Julia, you as a group have actually played in jazz concerts.
Yeah, we have. We have been lucky enough to collaborate with Professor Charles Pillow on we'll be a couple times now, and we'll be playing on his recital November 18th in Kilbourne. And this will be the second recital that we've been able to collaborate with him on. And it's pretty fun to just get out of our comfort zone and play some tunes with a rhythm section behind us and have them doing the work for us.
Do you have to sort of shake it out when you do that, Haley? Do you have to play differently when you're playing jazz?
I try to play a bit louder with more articulation to match the other instruments a bit, but I mean, I love it. It's not uncomfortable at all. Just gotta keep the steady pulse, which is maybe a little bit uncomfortable for us because we like the ebb and flow. But when you have that percussion in the background, you can't really just look at each other and do something spontaneous, I guess, unless you're playing a solo.
So you've played for elementary school kids, and Jordan, what is that like when you have these kids who aren't musicians sitting there and listening to you play?
It's really interesting, actually. I think they're much more attentive than you think they would be as little kids. They really notice things going on in the music. So if you ask them what they felt afterwards, what kind of emotions they were experiencing, they usually can answer with quite a lot. So it's really fun experience.
When you play for kids who don't know classical music at all, what is the number one question that they ask you, Ethan?
I think usually they think, since I play viola, that it's a violin. And so they'll ask if they can see my violin, or most people will ask about the difference between a violin and a viola. And so that's probably the number one thing I've had to address over the years. It's probably different for the violinist and cellist, but yeah, that's usually the first thing.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming in and spending time with us on Backstage Pass and Playing. Our executive producer is Gene Fisher. Our audio technicians are Andrew Croucher and Robert Braden. With many thanks again to the Lilac Quartet. I'm your producer and host, Julia Figueres. Backstage Pass is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting.
This is Classical 91.5 and 90.3.